Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Fallica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN. Leave last year in the past. I don't think any of us are the same people we were in January or February this year.
Everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't think that anywhere in America you will be getting the analysis of are the Chiefs for real? Like, I really think this is the only sports show or show of any kind anywhere in America where the question is being asked by you and Billy, are the Chiefs for real?
You agree it's not exactly what we saw, not nearly as overwhelming as the team we saw a year ago, right? You would agree with that?
That's the sport. I don't agree with it. Like, I'm not looking at the Chiefs and not fearing their quarterback. I'm not looking at the Chiefs and not fearing their speed. I think they have more ways to beat you than any team in the league, except for maybe Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has been uncommonly impressive, and I could go a week back and be like, well, what'd they do against Dallas? Should I question that? A totally broken Dallas team, they wheezed to a victory. That's just the league. Have you not been watching the league long enough to know that however it is you get to 8-1, like, that's going to be impressive? Like, that we can look at anybody's schedule and say, well, who have they beaten? Because half the league's not any good.
You can have an unimpressive, I think, 8-1. You can, or not nearly as impressive. I mean, the Bears started at 5-1. No one was taking them seriously.
They were 5-2, I think, and you're right. The Bears were not a very good 5-2. But it's not 8-1.
That's a fair point. It's not 8-1.
All they've done since losing that one game is win for a month straight.
Yeah, no. But you toss out the first two games, like we were saying before, because there was no preseason, and the Dolphins have essentially the same record. Look, if the Dolphins beat the Chiefs, everyone will be surprised, right? And everyone will be like, whoa, this is a surprising Dolphins team. What we're doing, we're leaving no stone unturned. We're looking at everything right now, and we're preparing ourselves for any eventual outcome. And we're not saying that they're just as good as the Chiefs or that the Chiefs aren't good. We're just saying maybe the Dolphins can beat the Chiefs, and if they do, we won't be entirely surprised.
To the thought that we don't know a team that's 8-1, look at the Patriots last year. They were 10-1 and ended up being a bad team,
exactly.
Lost to the Titans in the first round of the playoffs.
It's not a bad team.
And things do change over the course of a season with attrition and injury. The San Francisco 49ers are not physically the same team that they were last year because they've been wrecked by an assortment of injuries. But I will go back to what it is that I was saying during the local hour. You guys aren't disputing what I'm saying, right? You would agree, or would you not, that Pittsburgh and Kansas City are the cream of the AFC, not just record-wise, but you watch them play and you're like, good God, they've got a lot of different ways they can beat you. They can outscore you, or their defense can drag you into the mud and do what Kansas City did to Lamar Jackson. So they're the cream, but because football is funny this way, you've got beneath them in the second tier. You tell me who the best is from this group I'm going to give you.
Okay.
Because you can make an argument for the Dolphins in what I'm about to say. The second tier is the Ravens, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Colts, the Raiders, and the Browns. That's the second tier.
I have no idea who the best team in that bunch is.
I'm just so happy to be in that tier. This is a good day for Dolphins fans. Welcome. Look at us.
But you agree the Dolphins could be in that upper tier when it's all said and
Stugatz, what I said to you, because football is funny, is the Dolphins can beat any one of those teams in the second tier. And also, in any given game, because it's football, because look at Jacksonville and the Packers yesterday, something that doesn't make sense. In any given game, yes, they can beat Pittsburgh or Kansas City, but they would be a touchdown underdog to both of those teams.
Well, one thing that we're seeing, and I don't know if it's just 2020, in any given game, there could be 40-mile-per-hour winds, which is what happened in that Jacksonville game. And what's happened to Baker Mayfield twice? I can't make an evaluation because he's playing in gale force winds.
Dan, out of all of those second-tier QBs, which one do you trust the most?
So you've got Lamar Jackson, who's the MVP. I can't believe we're saying
this. But you don't trust him in the playoffs.
I can't believe we're talking tiers.
I can't believe we are talking tiers.
Yes!
Josh Allen, Tua.
Is it Ryan Tannehill?
It is Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
It's either Tannehill or Carr. Carr has been good this year, but it's either Tannehill or Carr. But Chris wants to badly put Tua in there. You're already putting Tua in there?
I mean... 3-game sample, 3-0, no interceptions, a lot of Ace. Remember the nickname? Should I say it again?
Yeah, no, please. Yeah. Yes, please. Say, go ahead. It was ASS, right? You are an ASS. Go ahead. What is it? Go ahead.
It was ACE. It's accuracy, composure, elusiveness.
Did you think about it this weekend? Can you help me understand? Okay, I want to understand. I really do. Did you come in here fired up this morning? Wait till I hit him with my ace. I've got an ace up my sleeve. They're never going to see this coming when we start the show today and I give them an acronym for what I think two is.
You should have seen how long it took me to find a word that I could make with C, E, and A. I was like, man, what can I do? I was like, C-A? No, that doesn't work. And yeah, Ace is an easy one.
It's the rare nickname that's just as long as his actual name, too, right?
As you cut it down by a syllable, congrats.
I guess he did cut it down by a syllable. Can you guys help me with the gambling losses yesterday or wins, depending on which side you were on? Which one do you think hurt more? Because the Browns were favored by 4. And at the end of the game, in a game in those wins that are just a terrible game to watch, okay, it is 10-7. The Browns are winning, and they've got the ball with a minute left. It's 3rd down, and Chubb gets around the corner on a play that looked like it was going to be stopped before he gets around the corner, and then all of a sudden he's running 60 yards down the sideline for what is going to be a clear and easy touchdown. No one is going to catch him, and he decides to step out of bounds at the 1-yard line, and he decides to not get the touchdown. I know a lot of fantasy people were bothered by this if you have Nick Chubb, but if you're a gambler and you had the Browns, that touchdown in a game where no one was scoring, that touchdown would have allowed you to cover.
It's easy. Of the two, I think that one is the one that hurts the most. There was no reason to do it.
Well, let me give you another one.
Zero reason to do that.
Let me give you the second one. Yes, it was literally pointless. It wasn't pointless. It was literally pointless.
Yes.
They did not get points, and you lost on your point spread. But the Arizona game, there was a reason to do it, but you couldn't have been expecting it as it happened. So you've got basically the Bills, Josh Allen, who was, again, good enough, very good, above average. At the end, he's got a lot of game-winning drives, Stugatz, and at the end, he hits Stephon Diggs on what should have been the winning play. Buffalo should have been celebrating all week in first place, feeling real good about themselves. But then Arizona comes back down the field with no time left, and Kyler Murray hits DeAndre Hopkins. And right there you see, Stugatz, for a lot of different reasons why DeAndre Hopkins is special, but those are 3 guys going up with him, and you just know one of them's a little more athletic than everyone who's around him.
Yep.
That the 3 guys are draped on him. I can't believe that Kyler Murray rolling to his left under pressure threw the ball that perfectly in that spot. You go anywhere else with that throw, Stugatz. If that throw is a little short, if it's a little deep, I can't believe he put that under pressure within the center of the end zone.
I was going to say, it also gave you a chance to see just how special Kyler Murray is.
I couldn't believe the accuracy of that
falling
throw.
To his side.
Crazy.
Running to the left sideline. Not even putting his full body into it just because of the way his body was positioned in a dime.
And so Buffalo was a 2.5-point dog in that game. And that touchdown, a Hail Mary, if you've got Buffalo, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And then DeAndre Hopkins ends up with a touchdown, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose by 3. as soon as they come out here and kick this extra point, I'm going to lose the bet that I just had because I just scored a touchdown with 20 seconds left in the game. How the bleep did they just come back on me? And then all of us saw that Kingsbury didn't risk kicking it because if he kicks it and it gets blocked, it's 2 points the other way and the game ends up being tied. So they just kneel on it to finish the football game.
I had them.
You had
Arizona. Cardinals minus 2.5.
Oh, so
that's a tough one.
It hurt.
Were you watching as it all happened?
Like I was watching. It was such an exciting play. So it's even with money on it, knowing that I had lost or waiting to see my fade. It didn't take away from the excitement of how great that game was and how great that play was. I didn't have enough money on it where it hurt so badly that I couldn't get past it and enjoy the excitement of that play.
Man, to be a fly on the wall in Christine Lisi's living room when that play happened.
Oh, God.
We're going to talk to her about that here in a little while. But will you tell me, though, Stugatz, as that ball is in the end zone and you're marveling it, like, I'm surprised to hear you say that, first of all, because usually when you've got money on it, there is a dumbstruck sort of not appreciation. There's cursing at the television because you're like, are you kidding me? Like the ball goes a little slower than you thought it was. Is this happening? Is this, am I going to really lose my money this way?
There's initial excitement because I'm thinking that they could go for the extra point there and I could.
Well, this is what I was saying. Right. So which one ends up hurting more, that you're watching Nick Chubb run down the sidelines and you've got the Browns? And because both are unexpected, both, you figure when DeAndre Hopkins is writhing around in the end zone, you figure your only chance is a missed extra point.
Well, yesterday the Cardinals hurt more because I actually had money on it. But I, like, if you take that out of the equation, you just ask me, I don't have money on either game. The Browns game hurts so much more. There is literally no reason for Nick Chubb. If you have the Browns, there is no reason. In fact, it's stupid.
Okay,
it's a terrible call for Nick Chubb not to go
in. This is why I'm asking you to compare the two, okay? Because before Nick Chubb turns that corner, you've lost that bet. Like that bet, you're running a running play.
Right.
You're looking to kill the rest of the clock. The only way you win that bet is if Nick Chubb goes 70 yards. You're not expecting a 70-yard run, and then you get it. The other game, you are done. You're the Cardinals. You're not going to win the game. You're done. As soon as Diggs catches that ball, you are finished. You have mourned that loss. That money's gone. You're not coming back. You're not going to return a kick. You're not going to get a Hail Mary. And then you get it. And then you get it. And then you're like, oh, my God, I won in the most miraculous fashion possible. All I need is the extra point. No! Why is Kyler Murray out there? Why is he just kneeling on the ball? No, I just won the game in the most spectacular fashion. Oh, I lose again.
I found myself lashing out at Mike Ryan because he was in my head when I placed the bet. I'm always buying the half point. So normally I would have bought Arizona down to 2. I didn't do it yesterday because Mike Ryan always tells me I'm wasting my money. Bleep yourself.
That's actually a spot where you do it. You buy down to win. You don't buy down to push.
If we're going to be playing the fly on the wall game, I'd like to be a fly on the wall when Deshaun Watson saw DeAndre Hopkins catch that touchdown pass.
Texans. You got to feel for Texans fans because they just put up 7 points. Romeo Crennel was a disaster in that game. The guy that they traded for to get in that DeAndre Hopkins trade is now on the IR for 3 weeks with a concussion, and DeAndre Hopkins does that.
They were actually talking. I read some reports that they were talking about bringing Romeo Crennel back in his mid-70s. The Texans, what a tire fire inside of a dumpster. Dude. Because also this weekend, in 2020, Stugatz, it's not merely that they fire their female head of communications. It's that they said that she, quote unquote, wasn't a cultural fit. You can say almost anything else. But a cultural fit, the idea that that's what's being reported by Adam Schefter is basically, it feels like a disguise for, well, we got a bunch of men around here and we don't want a woman. Like a cultural fit? Like, I understand that that's not what they meant, but that's what it ends up sounding like.
She worked with the Browns previously.
Not a cultural fit.
Back to Nick Chubb, when he's running down the sideline, do you think in those 5 seconds or whatever it takes him to run those 60 yards, is he like doing math in his head?
Well, no,
like thinking like, should I, like, am I running? Like, I'm just imagining him having a panic in his mind as he's running down. Should I score? Should I not? Oh shit, I don't know. What's the math? Carry the one, and he's just trying to do all this with some guy chasing him down, and then he's just like, you know what? I'm going to play it safe and get out of bounds.
They had the discussion before the play. Stefanski told them, if you get a first down, take an eight. If you get to the end zone, don't go into the end zone. And Nick Chubb said, yes, sir.
Yeah. Play call, the play is actually called No Moss.
He owes him a touchdown, Stefanski. He does. I mean, when they renegotiate that contract, they better factor in another touchdown for Nick Chubb this season.
Well, Nick Chubb,
I didn't know the audacity of Stefanski to tell a guy not to score who plays that hard for him. First off, scoring is the right play. It's the right option. It's your best option. It gives you the best chance of winning the game. It was dumb.
Well, what was dumb was that he decided to step out of bounds. It's counterintuitive
instead
there.
Of kneeling.
Yeah, you just give yourself up at the one. You don't stop the clock for them and run out of bounds. At that point, yeah, just score it because they're not going to come back from that deficit.
I told you, Stugatz, this is an old story, but I remember the ripples that it had. Edgerrin James, I did an ESPN The Magazine story on him, and if you Google search that cover of Edgerrin James, you will see him just straight out of the deepest parts of South Florida where it's difficult to get out of, okay? You will see it all on his face. And in that story, one of the things that he said was that, and he said he was very honest in a way that he didn't do very many interviews, but when he did them like this, he said things like what I'm about to tell you. I believe Jim Mora was the coach. Jim Mora told him one time, get the first down and kneel. And he was quoted in that story saying, bleep that. I've got contract incentives. I'm going to score. So I'm not going to listen to my coach there. If you don't want that, don't put it in my contract. And he would just said flatly, I'm going to score there. I want touchdowns because I've got contract incentives. Don't tell me to kneel. I don't care what the game situation
Nick Chubb
is.
Actually does have a contract coming up too, so that touchdown would certainly boost stats that have been affected by him being out with an MCL injury, and it seems as though they re-signed Kareem Hunt at the price they did as a bit of a leverage play. But I think the Browns are a completely different team with having both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It dilutes the entire rushing game if you only have one of them.
Both of them ran the ball well. That was a painful game to watch. Mike, are you willing to acknowledge? Because when I was giving second-tier teams, I snuck Cleveland in there for you because they're 6-3. Are you willing to acknowledge that they're at the very bottom of that list of teams I gave
you? I would probably put, even though they had an impressive win at Tennessee, I was trying to figure out the quarterbacks that I trust the least. It's probably Phillip Rivers now. I saw him go head-to-head against Baker Mayfield.
He was so good against Tennessee. He was so good against them.
Again, it's an Alex Smith thing. Like, if you don't know Phillip Rivers is going to go underneath the entire time. But they protected him, and they don't have the defensive line to bother Phillip Rivers, which is what you saw when they went head-to-head against Cleveland. I trust Phillip Rivers at least. But, yeah, that's a fair call by you. Cleveland's probably on the bottom end of that tier. One thing that I actually have faith in, I don't think we've seen Cleveland's ceiling yet, and I have more faith than ever that we actually have a coach to get us to our ceiling. But I'm also willing to acknowledge our ceiling is not good enough. Maybe we can scare a team. Maybe we can win in the first round. This is about building. It's unfortunate that I can't really evaluate the quarterback based off these last few games because they've been throwing into 45-mile-per-hour winds, because I really want to see what they have without Odell Beckham Jr., because I actually think I'm maybe it's counterintuitive. The popular take was that they're going to be better off without Odell Beckham Jr. No, especially in a game like that.
No,
that's one of those games
wide
where
receivers are weak.
Yeah, just give
weak wide receivers.
Put the ball in his hands and let him do something special. We saw that against Dallas.
That's what Stefanski is, though. He's run the ball, play defense. The difference between the Colts and the Browns, they're at the bottom of that tier. The Colts have a better defense. The Colts defense is really good.
Yes. Yeah, the Colts defense has, especially when Leonard's healthy. Cleveland caught a break when they went head to head. Indianapolis was a top-rated defense when they played, but they were missing their star middle linebacker in Leonard. They're very good defense.
Billy, what happened to T.Y. Hilton with Rivers? I know you follow the FIU guys, and I think he's even though World Series MVP Mike Lowell went to FIU, T.Y. Hilton's the best athlete in the history of FIU, is he not? I feel like he's had a very underwhelming type of season, and that Phillip Rivers isn't looking to him as a number one guy because, as Mike said, he's going underneath so much.
It's a good question. I wish I could tell you because I thought that I had a steal in the draft and I took T.Y. Hilton in like the eighth or ninth round. And I was like, how is he still here? Someone knew something and they didn't tell me what it was. I'm trying to figure out, is he injured? I don't know. Okay. I don't know what's going on there. I'm a little disappointed.
He's been battling some injuries, most recently the groin, but he's been in the league. And at that frame, tiny guy, you don't lose the speed. I still think he has the speed, but not with those injuries that he's been suffering.
The other thing, too, is Philip Rivers is not being asked to throw the ball deep, right? Like, that's the thing that when Andrew Luck was in town, he was able to just throw the ball and T.Y. would get under it. Right now, Philip Rivers is taking the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 yard pass, and he's throwing it to Nyheim Hines every single play.
T.Y. Hilton's 31. Where's the time gone, man?
He was 25 when the pandemic started, but time is only a strange illusion right now. I don't know what it is that's happening in the world that's making us all sort of distorted about where it is the time is going.
You have to remind yourself with him. He's 31. Some players' careers start going on a downward trajectory.
Oh, but I think what Tony's saying is true, though. Andrew Luck would drop back and throw it down the field. Like, he wouldn't have any fear about throwing it.
Well, he was also throwing it to a 24-year-old T.Y. Hilton.
There's that as well. But, Mike, you've got – when you are the Cleveland Browns in their present incarnation, even though your running backs are indeed good, there's no disputing that. Their ground game is good.
Also got our best offensive lineman back. That helps.
But when Jarvis Landry is your number one, you become as constipated as the Dolphin offense was when Jarvis Landry was their number one.
Really tough to make an evaluation on Jarvis.
Quarterback becomes 12 of 20 for 120 yards, Mike.
Yeah, but look at how many times he had the ball.
Yesterday was stupid.
Yeah. Look at Deshaun Watson's stats, even though I was kind of impressed by Deshaun Watson.
Dreadful, yes.
They had 9 series. You can't make it. The Browns had 6 drives against the Raiders. It was like the lowest total in 30 years. It's hard to make an evaluation.
You don't fear Jarvis Landry busting a game over.
No, you fear this running game. This is all about the Cleveland Browns running game. It's the best rushing attack in the league, arguably, now that they have players that are fit enough. And that's supposed to be the type of team that runs, that you run into difficulty with. That's a team built for the postseason outside of having arguably the worst defense in the league with the defensive player of the year. It's a weird team.
How about this one for you guys? So, unfortunately, and this made me sad, Colin Cowherd went 4-1 with his gambling picks. 4-1, and Chris Jericho went 4-0-1.
Yeah!
Chris Jericho Woo! Will not be toppled by Colin Cowherd. When Cowherd gives you a 1-4, Jericho gives you a 1-4, and when Cowherd gives you a 4-1, Jericho gives you a 4-0-1. We're not actually making up a big space between ourselves and Colin Cowherd. But now that's 7 straight weeks that he has at least tied or passed.
And he has tied the all-time record. Nice. 8 weeks. Nitro, the American Gladiator, who we now have a poor relationship with. Nitro, the American Gladiator, came back for 8 weeks. Chrissy the Greek has tied the all-time record.
Jericho does just enough to win. I mean, every week.
That's right. TCB, I would think that you would be saying in relation to Jericho, because you like Ace over there. You love the acronyms.
Oh, I actually have a pretty good stat of the day. Can we get to it?
Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
With his win over the Texans yesterday, Baker Mayfield became the winningest quarterback in First Energy Stadium history. He surpassed Ben Roethlisberger.
That is funny.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Does Ben have to go to Cleveland?
Oh, yes. Week 17, I believe.
Oh, wow. That's for everything.
That is the winningest quarterback. That is crazy.
The history of First Energy Stadium, which is the only stadium they've played in since they returned to the NFL in 1999.
I've got a couple of stats for you that might surprise the audience, Stugatz. You want to guess the Washington football team? You want to guess how many points they've scored this year on their opening drive
opening drive.
March down the field. The Washington football team.
Games in. I'm going to say opening drive, couple of touchdowns. I'm going to say like 32 points.
Thank you, Stugatz.
You got it.
I appreciate you playing the game correctly. The answer is zero.
What?
The answer is 0 points. Whoa. They have not gotten a field goal. They have not gotten anything. It's 0 points. I was surprised to learn this yesterday. Do you want to guess where the Tampa Bay Bucks of Tom Brady are ranked third and long? Third and long, because I've told you before that when I fear an offense, the scariest offenses to me in the league are the ones where you just don't feel safe when you've stopped them totally on the first two downs and it's third and 11 and you don't still feel good about anything that's about to happen here because you know how overwhelming the other team is at offense.
I'm going to say near the bottom of the league, third and long, near the bottom of the league, maybe 20-something.
30th.
Really?
They're 30. They went into yesterday. They did well yesterday, but they are – I wouldn't have thought that for a team that keeps up putting – I keep seeing them put up 40, right? I keep seeing every once in a while. Now, I know they had that dreadful game against the Saints where they had 3 points, but I would have thought that the Tampa Bay Bucs, because of all the skill position players that they have, I would have thought that is a team to be feared offensively on third and long. It is not.
Well, how many third and long situations do they have? Perhaps they never get the third down because he's so great.
That is one way of looking at it, certainly. And then another stat that I thought was interesting yesterday, as the league changes a little bit more, it's reluctant because they don't like to do it and they're conservative in nature and these coaches tend to make decisions that protect their jobs. But more and more, teams are going for it on fourth and three in a game where they know that the offense they're playing against, that the field goals aren't going to help them much. So even the Bengals, Stugatz, yesterday, going into yesterday, on fourth down, the Bengals, who aren't any good,
right,
are 13 of 14 on converting successfully fourth down conversions. Like, if that's the rate that you're going to do it at when you're not even a good football team, like, you should try to do it a little more often on fourth and shorts. I still get exasperated. I mean, more and more, they're doing it in their own territory. People are realizing, hey, we can get an inch here. We don't need to be punting and kicking here.
You're waiting for someone to do it inside their own 20 consistently.
I mean,
let's go.
I feel like the Arizona Cardinals right now are a team that will try that a little bit. The Chiefs, obviously, are a team that will try that. The Ravens are a team that will try that.
I mean, the temptation to keep Aaron Rodgers on the field in all situations has to be overwhelming,
well,
doesn't it?
I would think that if you have a great quarterback, and I say to you just in a total vacuum, hey, getting 10 yards on four downs instead of three, you think that's a good idea? Like, if I feel like it's a victory anytime I'm on defense and you've got a great quarterback and you've got half a yard to go and you decide to kick me the ball. Like, I'm terrified.
Thank
that
you.
I don't want you to go for it, right? Like, if you're on defense there, do you want a team with a great quarterback to go for it?
Wait, you have that guy, Kyler Murray, a quarterback, and you're going to let the guy punt it back to me?
You're going to give me the ball back. Okay, I'll take
you're
it.
You're taking it out of that guy's hands?
Thank you.
I wanted to grab Joe Judge by the neck because he had an opportunity on fourth and inches to put the game away with Daniel Jones, who is, by the way, an elite runner. He's just straight up elite. He did it again yesterday against the Eagles, and he took the delay a game to punt it to him. Why are you doing this? They can't stop Daniel Jones on a sneak. They can't.
You guys mentioned, this was funny yesterday, I thought. You guys mentioned the NFC East and just how dreadful it is. I heard the announcer say this yesterday.
Right. Yeah, you still laughing at that tie, huh?
The announcer said yesterday,
Peterson,
that the Philadelphia Eagles could lose the game and it doesn't matter. They'll still be in first place with three victories. Go ahead.
Because of the single most important tie in the history of the NFL.
F*** you!